transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
This is the Medicast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the Podmedic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day, everybody, and welcome to EMS Today 2011. I'm Jamie Davis, the Podmedic, and we are here in the Zoll Podcast Studio to kick off this event. And I'm here in a joint episode of the Medicast and EMS Garage with my good friend, EMS Garage host Chris Montero. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited. It's already been an amazing event, and it just started.
I know, and the bagpipes are done, and now we're ready to go. You guys can stop on in, have a seat, and listen to the show. And we've got a ton of guests to get through.
Yeah, we have a ton of guests, so we're gonna move right on in. Yeah. But not only is the whole studio today sponsored by Zoll, but this episode is sponsored by Zoll, and I just want to thank Zoll very much for sponsoring our podcast, for continuing to support the things we do.
Yep.
And and I'm also excited because they've got some really cool stuff to talk about. We're joined by John Cloutier and Brad Weber from Zoll. So, John, welcome back. I guess you've been on before.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, it's good to see you. This is exciting this year, isn't it?
It is.
A great show so far. It just started.
It's already just started, and here we are.
I know, right.
and Brad Weber, brand new on the show, but hopefully not the last time, because I want to find out more about what you've got to talk about, definitely.
Terrific. Thanks for having me.
All right, great. Well, listen, I'm going to start off, John. What were you here to talk about? Zoll's got a lot of exciting things going on at this event. And tell us a little bit about what you all have planned.
We do. This is very exciting. We've got a full booth this year with all of our products, everything from data products to our defibrillation, to our automated CPR with load distributing band compressions. We've got Chronicles of EMS in our booth this year. Great to have them as well. Defibrillation products. We've got the whole gamut, including therapeutic hypothermia this year with the Thermaguard. So it's very exciting for us this year, particularly with the guideline changes.
There was a lot of expectation about the guideline changes. And I know a lot of manufacturers were wondering, was it going to be as devastating as the last round where just things changed a lot?
Right.
But not so much. I mean, good changes, I think positive changes, but nothing earth-shattering from your standpoint.
No, I think not for the ALS provider per se, but for the BLS, it's really a shift of paradigm. You and I grew up on the ABCs, and now we're at CAB, so it's a whole shift. But you're right. There have been very, I would say, minor changes in compared to what it has been in the past.
So what's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to at the conference here? You know, from of the things you named that you guys are talking about here at the conference at the Zoll booth, what's really the thing you're most excited about?
So I think there's two things that I'm personally excited about. I'll speak to one, and then Brad could speak to the other. For us, we are showcasing a new capability on the Zoll E-Series called CPR Dashboard, and there are several components within that to allow real-time CPR feedback and rate, rhythm, and reducing interruptions of compression. So for me, that's very exciting. The second one is a new app that I'll let Brad speak to, but I think this is very exciting for Zoll.
And when we say app, you know, when they say there's an app for that, that's what we're kind of talking about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Brad, fill us in. You've got a brand new iPad app?
That's right. So we're here to introduce the ePCR for iPad solution from Zoll that extends the Zoll product line, the PCR product line, to Apple's iPad platform.
All right. So fill me in. I mean, is it integrating? Does it connect to your monitors? I mean, what exactly is the plus to have the ePCR extend to a tablet format?
Well, some of the benefits are the fact that it's a much lighter device than I think folks in the industry are used to. It is a much less expensive device as well, and a pleasure to use, if I might add.
He showed me. It's cool because you can go in and pick the page of your PCR that you want to write on and actually select it. And so you don't have to hit the next button or whatever. And it's cool. It's amazing. And then it'll do the printout and everything. Oh, it's really cool. I'm very impressed. Yeah.
I think that it's such a big deal to be moving towards this paperless system. to get away from, you know, printing a copy for you, a copy for the hospital, a copy for your medical director. I mean, it seems to be some places are making three copies of their incident reports and having to fax them somewhere else. So there's another paper copy. And it just becomes so redundant. And everything ends up in electronic file storage anyway.
Right. And if you look at all of the products that are in that Zoll booth, from our defibrillators to our CPR devices, all of it talks together. So you can integrate all of this information into an electronic patient care record on our RescueNet PCR program. So all of this data that we're generating in the back of the ambulance and on the patient's bedside, we can capture and consolidate and communicate. It's fantastic.
So you got waveforms, you got your ECGs,
everything.
12 leads, everything's right there.
Everything from dispatch, pre-arrival information can all be integrated and populated into the PCR program, the RescueNet PCR program. Everything all the way to billing. So all of this information included in the medical records can be communicated and archived.
Well, and they said that it's very soon the iPad app will actually integrate into the RescueNet. Is that correct? So you'll be able to sync it to the RescueNet software?
Correct. Okay. That is not true today, but that is in the plans.
But it's close. It's closer.
Right.
I mean, if you guys are rolling it out, I'm completely amazed. It's just like using a normal patient care report.
It almost makes it fun.
Okay.
Come on, if you have to do patient care reporting, right?
All right, exactly.
All right, so my question is, because you know, one of the things I used to love coming to these conferences and do was play with the toys.
Yeah.
So can they come by the Zoll booth and, you know, play with the reporting tool and touch the tablets and get their hands on it?
Yeah, so we've got four or five iPads at the Zoll booth that are available for experimentation.
Can I get it for 99 cents on iTunes, though? Oh, okay, I'm just teasing.
No, really, we'd be happy to have everybody come by the Zoll booth and play with all of the products, as a matter of fact. We're doing something kind of fun. There are several stations set up. For each station, you get a piece of a heart, a model heart, and you can assemble it after you've gone through all the stations. So it's kind of fun.
That's cool.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
It's very cool.
So not only do you get to play with the iPad, but you get to assemble get the little special model heart.
Yeah,
thing.
We'll send you home with a heart.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we talk all the time about the amazing support you've given to us podcasters, the social media medics and EMTs out there, and support of the podcast studio. And I just want to, again, thank you very much for continuing that support. And I'm excited about all the advances. Every time we see you every 6 months, and how do you keep doing this? It's like, kind of like Steve Jobs.
We're
here.
Very
you come
busy
out with something
Zoll.
New.
Well, listen, this has been a pleasure for us. We've really enjoyed this partnership with you and our extended community and family and the social media world. So thank you for letting us do this.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you guys for coming on.
Absolutely.
I appreciate
Thanks
it.
So
yeah.
Cool.
And where can they find out more information on the Zoll website? If they're watching at home, they want to go see about the iPad app, can they go to the Zoll data page, or where do they go there?
Should be able to soon. The announcement was just made yesterday.
Right. Exactly. So, I got it in my email. I'm like, no
this
way.
Is hot off the press.
That's very cool.
Yeah. You get to hear it here nearly first, right here on Medicast and EMS Garage.
Yeah.
At Zoll and EMS Fire, we want to go.
I can't read.
No, I
Carissa and I normally have a really good rapport,
Carissa,
and today we're just so off. I don't get it.
No, it's all right. I'm here.
At Zoll.
I got you. At
EMS
Zoll EMS Fire. On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah. And you also have the Zoll EMS Fire page on Facebook. And they're always a lot of great questions.
Mm-hmm.
I know Charlotte just comes up with the greatest things to start discussions there.
Yeah.
And so really just a great discussion about medical care in general. I mean, it's really, it's just a great place to find some good information.
Yeah, it's a great forum. And for you new listeners out there, it's a great place. Log in, start a dialogue. Let's have some healthy conversation and really get the information out there.
Because that's what I think is cool, too, is your Facebook page isn't just, okay, here's a new announcement.
Yeah.
It's really about patients.
We created this for the audience. This is
that's
for
great.
The community to communicate and talk about important topics in resuscitation. So this is fantastic.
Huge.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. And I would just tell everybody to go ahead and head over to the Zoll booth if you're here. If not, stay tuned here to see more and hear more about what's going on here at the event. And, of course, you can go to Zoll's site, go to at Zoll EMS Fire on Twitter and the Zoll EMS Fire page on Facebook. You're going to find a whole host of information and links, too, when they have that stuff set up on their page. You can actually check out the amazing stuff. I, everybody knows I'm an Apple geek anyway. You know, I got the iPad, the iPhone, the, you know, if they had them and I was still having kids, I'd have an iBaby. But I have to say that, you know, this just is an amazing application to bring that whole environment into the EMS sector.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Well,
so we're bringing up, she just showed me a thing. I'm looking. Andy Kelly is coming up.
Andy and Kelly.
I'm like,
oh, that's
not
cool.
Andy Kelly on
See,
my list.
She's using the technology. We need to get the executive producer. And oh, no way. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch. I love that. Is that an app?
It's
got to be an
app.
It's a free app. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. So can I get an iPad? Thanks, guys. I want an iPad. I didn't know you had one.
I don't actually have one. You know, I became the coolest husband ever when I got my wife one for Mother's Day when they first came out, and I got my mother one for Mother's Day. So, like, I became the coolest son and husband. And, you know, that only lasts for a certain period of time.
Right.
You know,
about a year.
Then you're in the doghouse again.
Right. About a year.
But, hey, you know, I'll take it.
Hey, you can get him a new iPad 2 now.
Yeah, you know what? We've been here, and there's been so many amazing things going on. We missed the announcement. I know you and I would have been glued to the announcement. So we'll have to check on that when we get done here. But we've got our guests up.
I'm not going to watch it till next week. Although I heard Steve Jobs went on
stage.
He made an appearance.
So I'm going to have to check that out.
I'm excited.
Hey, we've got Kelly Grayson himself.
Oh, my goodness. It's the Hobbit.
It's the man.
Oh, I'm the Hobbit.
You're the Hobbit.
I get all confused.
Remember, Hobbits are a Tolkien minority.
Isn't that his joke?
No, that's actually mine. I'll take it.
He has an original joke.
I have an original joke, folks. But Kelly Grayson, welcome.
Thanks for having me here, Jamie.
So, you know, we know you can find you in so many places. Of course, you've got the Diary of an EMS Newbie podcast and other. I can't remember where else we can find you. But
AmbulanceDriverFiles.com.
It's too many words and names and ambulance people out there.
This is true.
But hey, it's always a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
You and your horde of flying monkeys that you
My legion of flying monkeys on my quest for world domination.
Yep.
Yes. Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep. And I'm really excited to have Andrew Rozak on, who is, I don't know if you guys think about it, but there are people working hard for us at the federal level and bringing EMS to the attention of legislatures at the federal level in the government. And Andrew Rozak is one of those people who is just an amazing proponent for everything that we need to have done in EMS. And Andrew, you know, one of the reasons I was excited to have you on the show is that you know, there's a huge discussion going on this week based on where should EMS lie within the federal sector. I mean, we've been under the Department of Transportation for so long. I think all of us have tire tracks on our backs, but
gosh. Wow.
There's an image for you.
You know Drew Dawson's here, right? Okay, just making sure
saying that they do a bad job representing us. I just think that it's not necessarily the best place for us to live, Kelly.
We've grown beyond the trauma technician that was trained to pick up broken bodies on the highway.
Yeah.
EMS is more than
And
that.
The system we have that was developed under the DOT is the system that every other country in the industrialized world modeled their EMS systems after. So it's not like it's a bad system,
except for the fact that they put it under health care.
They put it under their health care.
So, Andy, tell us who you are and what office in the government do you work for? Because I'm sure it's a really long name.
Yes, very long. Well, thank you so much, Jamie and Chris, for having me. And I'll try to speak up here.
Remember, lick the mic.
Lean right up
Very
on that
nice.
Microphone.
All right.
You have to love the mic.
I am Andy Rozak. I am a paramedic as well, so I'm very excited to work in the executive branch of the government to help really try to strengthen up some of these policies and get EMS, you know, to the forefront where, of course, I believe it should be. And, you know, not that I'm biased at all as a paramedic, but I currently serve as the Senior Health Policy Counsel at the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA. At HHS, under the Office of Special Health Affairs, which is in the Office of the Administrator. So how's that for a long title? Put that on a business card.
OSHA, but
yes.
Not OSHA.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
That's almost a business page by the time you're done with it.
Yes, sir. Yes. The government loves their acronyms. So
his letterhead is just all that. And then he gets to do the second page, and it's your letter. So it's awesome.
So I have the great privilege to work there. And I'm also a member of FICOMS, the Federal Interagency Committee on EMS, a member of their working group. which is really the group that's been charged by the White House to develop this options paper. And as you kind of alluded to, Jamie, one of the things that we're doing here at EMS today, we hosted an entire day of pre-conference, a federal town hall, if you will. And one of the issues that we raised is this issue of the federal lead home and the federal lead agency for EMS and the government. And we're currently soliciting stakeholder input on, you know, we want to hear what the stakeholders think. So many of the people who were here at the session had an opportunity to present their comments in person. And for those who were not able to come to EMS today, the process will be ongoing. And there's actually a way for you to get involved and have the federal government hear what you think. So we're really welcoming your comments. And let me see, I've got to read this just to make sure I'm being fair and accurate to everyone. But we are interested in any stakeholder input about the role of the federal government in the full continuum of emergency medical services and emergency and trauma care for adults and children, including medical 911, emergency medical dispatch, pre-hospital emergency medical services, both ground and air, hospital-based emergency care and trauma care, and medical-related disaster preparedness. So with respect to the full continuum of emergency medical services and emergency and trauma care for adults and children, any stakeholder input would be appreciated regarding topics such as the role of the federal government, activities or functions that should not be the role of the federal government, the role of a federal lead office for EMS if it were established, including the functions and issues it should perform and address, and other comments or suggestions that you may have. If you wish to submit comments, you can do so at FICEMS, which is F-I-C-E-M-S, FICEMS, at DOT.gov. There is a little bit of a time crunch because the White House would like our paper by May, so you are encouraged to think thoughtfully about these issues, but also please hurry up and get the comments in as soon as possible. So I very much would love to hear from all the stakeholders out there, and I really appreciate you broadcasting this on the podcast. I'm a loyal follower and really enjoy listening to your podcast. I think it's a great service to the EMS community and a great way to get out this opportunity to have your voice heard by the federal government.
So who are some, I mean, Chris, you were at the meeting. I mean, mm-hmm. We tried to come to the meeting. We just got there a little late, and man, it filled up. There was standing room only, people standing outside of the doors with the doors opening, listening in on this meeting. So it was clearly some passionate thought process going on. Right. Who are some of the federal agencies that people are thinking about?
I can name three for sure. The International EMS Chiefs posted a white paper that said that they believed it should fall under Department of Homeland Security. Others felt that, including I think it was the position of NEMSMA, which is the National EMS Management Association. Advocates for EMS. I misspoke. Advocates for EMS, that they said that we put the stake in the ground last year and thought that it really should be a part of, or stay a part of DOT. Not really move, but we felt that we wanted to initiate legislation to say that's where it needs to be. And then finally, I would have to say probably 90% of the rest of the audience feels that it should fall under some sort of branch of government that deals with healthcare a lot. It seems to make sense that the branch of government that deals with healthcare a lot is Health and Human Services. They have HRSA, they have CDC, they have many of the programs and things that already do health. You know, we talk about it a lot that we have a hospital or a mobile clinic that the only thing we have in common or in common with transportation is we have wheels. Other than that, we do healthcare. We do healthcare in people's homes. We do it on the side of the road. We do it in a grocery store. We do it on the side of a ski hill, whatever your case may be. But we're doing it. So it makes sense that the people that regulate us or want to help us and be that voice should have an understanding of what healthcare is. So I don't know. I don't think that DOT's been necessarily bad at it. I just think that people are having the discussion, and I think that's a worthwhile thing to do. It may end up staying there. We don't know, but I think it's time we've moved and progressed to that point. And you know, the other thing is that I think came out of that meeting was that EMS has fingerlings into every piece of federal government there is. There is a DHS. There is part in DOT. There is a part in HHS. There is a part in HRSA. There is a part everywhere you go, even in DOJ, I would assume that, which is under DHS. So there's so much involved in that it's hard to just, I don't think you could extract it wholly and plop it into here and say, okay, don't ever talk to anybody else again. But it's got to be somebody, it's got to be an agency that understands us. And we have a bit of an identity crisis already, so how do we move that forward? And that was a lot of the thinking conversation that we got in 45 minutes. There was another meeting today, and my understanding is that everybody still believes it's healthcare, and probably HHS is the way they would like to lean.
Kelly, what do you think?
Well, when you have your fingers into so many different aspects of government agencies, it's kind of hard to make them into a fist.
Right.
And that ultimately decreases our effectiveness. I think the time's coming when we need a single lead federal agency for EMS, and this pains me to say because I'm a libertarian, and you know, I was like,
just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and say it.
Keep your gun under the table.
Not in Baltimore, right. Baby.
Right.
But it's long since past time for us to have a lead agency in EMS. And you know, and one of the nice things about EMS is that we are neither fish nor fowl nor good red meat, but we need to decide what we are, and I think it's healthcare. It's mobile healthcare, but it's healthcare. We are more than public safety, which if we were solely a public safety agency, I think our role would fit well under DHS.
Right.
You know, I think we more properly belong in healthcare, and I'm not going to talk about DHS.
Skip Kirkwood told me a story today. He said, I was sitting next to a colonel, a lieutenant colonel, that had all of this, you know, brass and everything from Vietnam era. And he said he was in the Marines. And he sat there and he said, so I have a question for you. Are you guys Navy guys, you know, sailor guys wanting to be Army? Are you Army guys wanting to be sailors? No. But he knew him well enough, and he said, are you kidding me? We're Marines.
Yeah.
And so he likened it to the story of, well, why can't we just be EMS?
Exactly.
I mean, why can't we just say we're EMS? And that's what we are. There's no difference in that. So I was like, well, that's profound. You know, I gave Skip kind of the raised eyebrow too, like, you really asked a Marine that? But it was profound because they're Marines. That's what they are, and that's what we need to be.
I think is, you know, with the way the reimbursement schedule is, you know, so much of our funding and our operating budgets come from government reimbursement through HRSA. It's only fitting that we our lead federal agency fall under the same umbrella.
Yep.
You know.
And so many of the issues that are really plaguing EMS right now, the hospital overcrowding, the number of calls, the calls that we're running that we don't have the power because of CMS billing practices, that we are not able to code efficiently to just show up and assess and go home and bill for that. You know, you go to your doctor's appointment, and they get to code for that. They get to bill for that time where you come in and say, am I sick or not? And they say, no, you're not sick enough, and you just need to ride it out. You'll be well in a couple of days. We need the power to be able to do that. But right now, we can't bill for that.
Yeah.
There's no efficient way to do it. There's people that are finding ways around the system. But there's just been so many things that are stepping in this direction. The approval of EMS as an official medical specialty, you know, that's recognition of from the healthcare environment that we are healthcare. And I think that so many of our issues revolve around solving some key community-based healthcare problems. We come back to your community paramedicine background, what you're doing in your community. It all comes around to the same thing where we're talking about, are we fire? Which, you know, in my system, we're a fire department that has ambulances. But we run 5 to 6 times more calls than the fire department side does. And you know, that's true in Baltimore City. It's true in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's true in so many places that have dual services.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, one size does not fit all when you're working shifts next to guys that only run 5 calls that day and you ran 20.
Right. Well, and I said, I likened it to that, you know, people want us to be more prepared as EMS or whatever. And I said, you know, in the state of Colorado today, they did 12,000 calls-ish. I mean, that's based on the average numbers, blah, blah, blah. But 12,000 patients were taken care of today. That's a lot of patients. Now, if there were 12,000 fires in Colorado today, there would be the press would be going crazy. Colorado would be on fire. It would be bad. Mm-hmm. So I just think that we need to find out. I agree with you. We also need to get away from this idea that we're FedEx. We take patient from point A to point B, we get a signature, and we get it reimbursed for it.
No,
that's wrong.
We're fed up.
I like that.
Yes,
we
nice.
Need to get somebody to mock up the FedEx logo with fed up. That would be so cool.
Nice.
Andrew, Andy, you've been sitting patiently listening to us rant. You've heard us rant before because we've known you for a while, and you're a good friend of what we do and a good supporter. But can you give us your thoughts? I know you're representing a government agency, and I don't know how much you can share, but it seems to me that this is just a self-evident aha moment where we've been talking about us being part of healthcare for 5 years and probably longer, but since my show's been on.
Well, you know, and I am limited by what I can say. I really don't want to take a stance or, you know, represent any of the agencies
and
or the government.
And fair enough. I don't want to put you on the spot.
But I will say that having the dialogue and having the discussion, I think, over the last couple of days, and I'm sure it'll continue well until this paper is written and delivered, is very helpful. I think it's always refreshing to kind of take a look at where things are or where things could be. And, look at some of the models that are out there. And I think, as Chris pointed out, the law enforcement has the Department of Justice. And yes, there's activities that fall outside of the Department of Justice's reach, such as FCC that regulates communications and all sorts of things. But, you know, for a long time, the law enforcement community has had that lead agency to kind of be their advocate. We don't lobby. I'm using the term loosely. But they know where to go to look for grants and support and things of that nature. Kind of the same way that the fire service has had the, United States Fire Administration for a number of years. So I think there is some benefit, and obviously it's an issue because it keeps coming up between, all these conferences we go to. It's always talked about. The National EMS Advisory Committee has identified it as one of their top issues. Now the White House is asking for input. So clearly it's an issue, and people are talking about it. And I think I speak, for all of our federal partners, where we're really looking to have the dialogue and have an open and honest, candid discussion about where EMS is, where it's been, and where it's going in the future. And I hope people take this opportunity seriously, because this is really a time here where, granted, maybe nothing will ever come of this. We don't know. I don't have the power and certainly can't speak, that this is going to magically fix everything in EMS. But this is really an opportunity to get your thoughts on the record and tell us what you think. As a street-level provider, I had no idea what the federal government did on a daily basis and how that could help me in the streets. So if you are a street-level provider and you feel the federal government can help you in some way, we welcome that kind of input. What are things we should be doing to make your job easier? So I think it's a great opportunity to really, evaluate ourselves. And, like you said, we have this identity crisis. What are we? What do we need to be? What tools or what support can the federal government provide? And granted, the federal government does have some limitations. There's state licensure issues. The federal government doesn't license medical providers. That's a state issue. So there's certain things that the federal government is not capable of doing. But for those things that, we are capable, I know all the federal partners are very deeply engaged. And truly, we have a lot of great folks and a lot of people with EMS backgrounds that really do come to work every day thinking about how can I help the guy in the street. Yeah. So I really do appreciate the time and the discussion, and I hope it continues, and would definitely encourage everyone listening to submit your comments, because we really would love to hear them.
And that's FICEMS, FICEMS .dot
no, I'm sorry.
Send an email.
Yes, FICEMS at DOT.gov.
So it's not an email. It's an email address, FICEMS at DOT.gov, and send your comments in. Listen, folks, when you sit around the station all day and you complain because the hospital's crowded and you don't understand why we're under the federal auspices we are and why we have all the grants going to fire services, neighboring organizations, but not to EMS, if you're complaining about that, send that email in. So take this opportunity to send that email to FICEMS at DOT.gov, and let's share our input. They can't address what we really need if they don't know.
Right.
So, exactly. Andy, thanks a lot for coming on, and, I know we'll be in touch and keep in touch with what you're doing. Sure. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
You know what else makes me sad? That the FAA wasn't included in that list of people that want EMS. Why? I mean, they fly patients. Why couldn't they be a part? Sorry.
Are you just...
I'm just goading people into
part of the problem is that...
Well, we visit a lot of public housing, so maybe we should...
I know.
And we should get HUD involved, because we visit a lot of public housing.
Yeah, exactly.
No? That's how ridiculous...
I know. It could get more ridiculous.
It could get even more ridiculous. Andy, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
You're just over there going, oh, boy, I'm going to get emails now.
That's what we're here to try to promote. So I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for the time.
Andy's a great guy, and he really is. The thing that I really enjoy about him is he's very honest and he's very open about this whole process. He's like, hey, I just want to be a part of it. And I think for that, we have to recognize that the people at the federal level actually do care about us. And I think that's good. It's good that people are having that discussion. And I'm excited about it. Mr. Richard Huff. Hello, sir.
Mr. Richard Huff has joined us in the house.
I'm in the presence of two innovators. I can't tell you how exciting that is.
Where? There's an innovator?
Greg was here.
There's another one over there.
He's around.
I get to do it officially now on my show. I want to say from the Medicast community, who I know all of you out there are listening, we are so proud to be part of the ProMed Network anyway, but to also know that the ProMed Network put forward 20% of the recognized innovators this year. Greg Fries from the EMS Educast, who's coming up in the show after this one, and Chris Montero from the EMS Garage. And, I'm honored to be part of a community where I can say I'm sitting here rubbing shoulders with folks like you and Greg.
But it's because of you and Ann and Aaron Reiner.
And you're sitting there going, I'm glad we're sitting on these high stools, right?
With Chris, he's rubbing shoulders, but you're rubbing elbows.
So. Oh! Was that a short joke?
Not as far as you know.
Okay,
I'm sorry, it went over your head, didn't it?
I'm muting you now. You no longer have the power to talk.
Rich, tell us who you are and share with the audience a little bit about why you're here at the event.
Well, I'm a journalist by trade. I'm down here covering some of the stuff for GEMS. When I'm not doing that, I am the chief of the Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey, which is a small volunteer organization dealing with many of the issues that you folks are dealing with every day and the whole country is dealing with. So it's a good chance to get down here and see some of the stuff and cover some of the sessions and see folks like yourself.
You've been here for, a couple of days?
Started working yesterday, been covering some of these panels, and seeing a lot of things starting to pop up a little bit.
What's the biggest thing the buzz right now? What's coming up on your radar? As we start the exhibit hall portion of the conference where a lot more people start rolling in, what's the buzz from the pre-conference stuff?
Well, I think a couple things, and you touched on some of those before, is this unified voice we need as EMS. Just here on this table, we've got a bunch of different types of organizations, and everyone's speaking a different language. We all have different needs. And I think the biggest thing that's starting to bubble up already is not just who we respond to or report to within the government, but what is that voice and what are we putting out there? And there's so many different organizations out there and so many different agencies trying to pitch something for the future of EMS, and we're not quite sure what that is because we all have different agendas. My volunteer organization needs something different from Chris's agency. So we're all trying to figure that out right now. And I think that's going to be a big theme here. The other theme, obviously, is the intubate or not intubate, which is already popping a little bit now and is going to continue to be a running theme. But I think those are kind of, this one voice. Where are we going? And, the 2.0 stuff is part of that, obviously. But I think we need a larger voice, a larger campaign of what we are.
I didn't either because I agree. I think the other... Well, you said that we have different needs, volunteer versus paid, partially paid versus not, fire EMS, law enforcement EMS, whatever, helicopter EMS. The thing is, though, we all still take care of people. And at the end of the day, we still have the same mission, even though we all maybe coin it a little differently or whatever, we still have the same mission, and that's to take care of people and to protect the public and make sure that they get to the right place. And eventually, I think we should be a part of that conversation. How do we make sure that patients aren't going to the highest cost center there is, which is the emergency room? They need to be going.
Right.
We need to be able to, we as providers need to be able to refer them to the appropriate health care, whether that's the emergency room, primary care, specialist, whatever the case may be.
Clinic, all the walk-in clinics that are opening up now in places like CVS and Target stores and things like that, they become valid options, but we need the power to be able to say to somebody, hey, we've assessed you, right. and you really, I think, could go and go to a clinic or go to this local other care provider or wait until the morning and call your primary care. But, you know, give them the option always to call back. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, there are some agencies that have moved so far away from nobody gets refusals.
Right.
Everybody goes. It hurts the whole system. And I know that I look at, we were talking about, you know, paid versus volunteer, but we're all healthcare professionals. I think it's important to point out and make the distinction. Just because you don't get a check for taking a patient to the hospital doesn't mean you're not a professional.
Oh, absolutely.
But some people would argue, well, I got paid and you didn't. I'm a professional and you're not. Absolutely not. In fact, I would hazard a guess, and I know I'm a volunteer organization too. I know that it's that volunteer provider who's taken his own time to maintain the certification that I would argue could be said to be even more professional in the way they approach their role as a provider.
Well, it doesn't mean there are not bad volunteers as well. I mean, the thing is, we all have to try to play to the highest standard. I mean, I'm constantly telling folks, like, look, just because the paid guys do this and the volunteers do that, we should be all on the same level. I think what we do need, though, is, and as Chris pointed out, we're people helpers. We take care of people. We need to get that message out on a much larger basis, and that needs to be the message going forward. I mean, you touched on it early on in terms of, you know, being in the transportation department. We're beyond that now. We've heard that a bunch of times now. We need to move beyond that message and get out there. And, you know, we're helping people, whether we're paid or volunteer or career or not. And I do agree. There's a lot of great volunteers out there because it's kind of like, you know, sending a kid to college much later in life. They care more when they're paying for it. There is that aspect in volunteers as well.
I think I'm going to have a seizure.
I know. We're in the seizure zone. Every now and then they turn the strobes on over there, and it's like, it's okay. Keep doing it. We're okay. I mean, look, if we were going to get seizures from flashing lights, it would have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But who's going to help us here, though? Is anybody on duty to actually render some care?
Still reminds me of that Steve Barry cartoon of the guy that collapses
at the conference and everybody's around. Over with. They got NPAs, OPAs, ET tubes.
I was that guy.
You passed out at a conference?
No, I had chest pain at a conference.
Steve
starting my IV and all this. Really? Yes, yes.
Anybody else have that nightmare? You wake up in a cold sweat that you're at a Con Ed event and everybody's going to tube you?
Kelly, how long did it take to get an ambulance here?
It was quick. I had a receiving line of people like as I was going out the door.
You're like, I didn't know you could put it. I didn't know you could put a tube there.
it was all hands in the cook.
Everybody wants a piece of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's a T-shirt club out there. I stuck Kelly Grayson.
Is that on the back or the front?
Both. I got them coming and going.
Oh my gosh. Killing me.
Yeah, no gluteal sticks. No.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Let's back on track here. But I'm guessing from your approach there, Rich, that you're thinking we need to be in the healthcare agency.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. I mean, look, we all think of ourselves as being in medicine, even though I'm not sticking anybody needle wise. So, you know, we all think of ourselves in medicine, so we need to be in that area. And I think we'll get more respect that way. Again, it just comes back to speaking with one voice and getting all of these groups together, all of these various advocacy agencies, the media, everyone going in one direction. And that's the biggest challenge we face. Our biggest problem as providers is us.
Yeah.
We tend to blame everybody else and stop and never look in the mirror and say, you're the problem. So we need to start, you know, addressing it right there and getting all on the same track.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, and if we can do that, if we can start being recognized as part of the medical profession, then we can start, you know, we'll stop losing our best professionals to the hospitals.
Absolutely.
You know, our best people are leaving, you know, hey, why did Jamie go get his RN? I went and got my RN because, you know, 2 a.m.
Because he's a dirty trader.
That's money.
Yeah, it's money. But it's 2 a.m. I could, you know, 2 a.m. in a ditch in the middle of February, upside down, getting a patient out of a car is... You know,
fun.
was fun when I was 30. It's not so fun now in mid-40s.
There comes a time where it gets old.
It's less fun.
Yeah.
I agree with you, and I think that I think why can't we as a profession then find the next step for us, and that's part of community paramedic and everything else that we're trying to do. But the idea that, because I'm an old medic, I don't want to get up at 2 a.m. either. And the idea that we have a way to transition people into new and innovative ways to do healthcare and to be a part of healthcare. So I don't know. I know I'm ranting.
But you need funding for that. You need all the stuff that's going to come from being part of the medical community and not the car community.
Exactly. Right.
And that's the problem that
that's
we face.
Point.
I mean, we're still years away from that. And what you're doing in that community stuff is great. And,
right.
and you know, people are doing that all over the place. Or starting
yep,
to,
exactly.
and it, you know, because we're seeing it from a ground level. And you know, Kelly was joking about. I mean, I'm in the hospital more than I'm in my own house.
Right.
But there, you know, it's brief interactions. Although, you know, we spend a lot of times in hospital, so we should be part of that medical community. And you know, stuff like you're doing on the ground, reaching out to folks, helping them stop abusing the system.
Right.
Or using the system in ways that's probably not appropriate, are all great things, but. You know, where do you get the funding for that? And that then comes from the Washington connection and all the other stuff, the grants and so on.
Right. Well, and I think the other piece of it, too, is we have our executive producer, who is also a nurse. Executive producer, I said it on the air. She is also a nurse, but she actually didn't even know what she could barely spell EMS 3 years ago. And now she gets it. She understands what we do. And she's like, You guys have a problem. You guys are crazy. Why aren't you guys doing more like nursing and trying to unify your voice and blah, blah, blah. I mean, everything she says we're trying to do and trying to solve.
Because our young are so tasty.
Yeah.
We do eat our young.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, they're so tasty.
Right. They are yummy.
Great with ketchup.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness,
I
mean,
preferred ranch.
In all fairness, there aren't a lot of EMS providers out there that can spell nurse. I didn't understand what that meant until I went to school.
Right.
And I realized it was a completely different, it's a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a direction we need to think about, at least shifting or some of our viewpoint in that total patient care direction. Because I think as we become part of the healthcare system, as hopefully that happens, we will be better able to assess our patients and make those types of critical thought decisions that are going to help us get the patient to the right place, which
exactly.
is not often the emergency room.
Yeah. So often in EMS, and this is I think endemic to the profession in general, we tend to regard ourselves as like a patch and a skill set.
Yep.
Not possessors of a unique body of knowledge.
Right.
The whole intubate or not intubate issue. It's a hot button because, oh my God, take away intubation, I'm not a paramedic anymore.
Right.
Or you get the paramedics who say, well, you know, why can't we do what nurses do? We can do more than they can. No, not really.
Yeah,
you know, and,
we can
and
do different.
We can do different
and that's
things
what I think
they can
it's
do.
It's
but we have a unique
comparing
body of
apples
knowledge.
And oranges doesn't work.
Yes.
No.
Right. But see, we immediately look for what we're going to lose. I was in one of those sessions and when somebody got up and said that, and I'm thinking, and I'm an EMT, by the way, and I'm thinking, well, wait, those guys can still give needles and I can't. So what are you losing?
Right.
You know, and he's not.
Patience.
They're not taking it away. They're just asking you to maybe use a different tool.
And it's not, I will say this: it's not a tool that gets used that frequently.
Absolutely.
So it's like, I don't know. It's like living in the middle of the desert and complaining that and sitting there and complaining that the rain, it might rain one less day.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. I think it's one of those things that's going to have to be made on a local. Decisions about that are going to have to be made on local protocol levels. It will make sense for certain systems to have more advanced airway practices than others. That's
Absolutely.
Already the case.
Yep.
When you go from place to place, different sets of protocols apply based on transport time,
mm-hmm.
based on availability of other resources. That's what makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. We'll eventually get beyond that when we become, as you suggested, take a more holistic view of patient care, total patient care, rather than
episodic patient care.
Or the ultimate high-fidelity skills mannequin. That's
right.
What our patients are to too many EMS providers.
Well, and it's all about the merit badges now and those type of things where, look at all of the badges I have.
Yeah.
Badges?
Okay. I'm going to do it.
We don't need no stinking badges.
Right. All right, okay. There you go. Just for you.
Now, I always like to joke when you go to one of these sessions, too, on all the titles. Everybody's got a slide just for the titles, which goes with the patches.
Yeah.
When I do a class, I just keep adding extra ones in just for that reason.
And that's why I just put
up.
That's why I'm just the pod medic. You know?
No, you need more. You have to have like a business card that you flip over with your extra certs.
I can put the extra letters after my name, but you know, quite honestly, I'm the pod medic. So speaking of being just Podmedic,
yep.
Go ahead. Rich, tell us, where can we find more about you online? Do you have a way we can catch up with you?
I'm on Facebook under my name, Richard M. Huff. By Twitter, I tweet Rich M. Huff at Twitter.
And that's H-U-F-F.
Correct. And you can read me in Gems, in gems.com down here during the convention.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
As Greg Fries would say, very cool.
Very cool.
Cool.
Another innovator. Really cool. Another innovator.
We're all doing our
Greg
Fries.
We really need to have Greg Fries impersonation night tonight when we go
Ooh,
out.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Hello, I'm Patrick the Starfish.
So,
wow.
Speaking of go ahead, Kelly, tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, at AmboDriver on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, A Day in the Life of the Ambulance of an Ambulance Driver. The blog of the same name, AmbulanceDriverFiles.com, the most hated blog name in EMS. And the podcast is Confessions of an EMS Newbie, EMSNewbie.com, that Ron Davis and I do together.
Funny show.
Is Ron going to be here?
Ron's not going to be here. We're going to try to have him at future conferences.
All right, we got to get him to the next one.
Yes, we got to drag him to the next
That's one. What we said in Dallas, and he just lived right down the street, literally.
I know.
Right.
I think he's avoiding us.
I know. Well,
Chris?
Oh, you know where to find me. EMSGarage.com, whatever. Geeky Medic on all the websites.
Superinnovativeguy.com.
Yeah. EMS10 Innovator.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, Greg and I are going to get the award and make it smaller and make it a medallion.
You getting the EMS10 body neck. Piercings?
Where can
Ooh,
you EMS,
nice.
Where can you EMS Mojo, baby?
Yeah, baby.
Hey, baby.
And Jamie, where can people find you?
I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. You can find me over at MedicCast.com. And, of course, all our shows are over at the ProMed Network. And we again want to thank GEMS here at EMS Today 2011 in the Zoll Podcast Studio. And this episode was sponsored by Zoll, and we got to hear about their iPad app. Just amazing things going on. If you're at the conference or coming to the conference, get by the Zoll booth and check out their iPad app and some of the other amazing things they've got there. And they said if you do all the stations, you get like this heart you get to put together as you go through the station. So I'm looking forward to getting over there myself. But we want to thank them for their support, their continued support, and, of course, everything that they do. And I'm just excited to be here at the conference to cover this amazing event.
And don't forget to go out to the GEMS party tonight over at UNO starting at 8:30. I hear there are free drinks. That's all I hear.
That's what I heard. For the first 300 people that get in.
But I thought you were sponsoring the next 300 yourself out of your pocket.
Yeah, that's coming out of your rev share. I don't know if you told
you
that.
Oh, yeah. Great. Thanks a lot.
Hey, great.
Thanks. See you guys soon.
All right.